as they did on June 4th, and Portland stands united against hate, and many organizations, including Portland Jobs with Justice, is calling out the troops again for a rally adjacent but separate from the right-wing rally. It's a march for freedom, solidarity, and justice Sunday, August 6th, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. at Battleship Oregon Memorial Waterfront Park on Southwest Pine. And finally, a Jobs with Justice announcement about an upcoming five-week class on labor history for labor activists starting October 10th. Well, that seems like it's a long way away, but you need to apply to get in. And it's going to be an exciting exploration, especially for new activists to the labor movement, about the lessons we can learn from the past. So go to our website, jwjpdx.org, to find out more information about that. So that does it. Wraps it up for Labor Radio.
Thank you, Jamie.
This Monday night and every Monday night. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Playing Monopoly with God and Other True Stories on August 4th, 7 p.m. at the Old Church in Portland. Playing Monopoly with God and Other True Stories will be performed by Melissa Bangs, who studied with the Upright Citizens Brigade. This is her one-woman comedy show about postpartum psychosis and healing through shared moments, laughter, and tears. Again, that's Playing Monopoly with God and Other True Stories on August 4th, 7 p.m. at the Old Church, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is always looking for ways people can work with us and support us. KBOO has a wish list, and we'd love help getting some of those items donated. Some things on our list include a color printer, digital recorders, a pop-up canopy, dishwashing detergent, brooms and mops, or services like roofing, plumbing, and electrical work. Please contact station co-manager Delphine at del@kboo.org or go to kboo.fm/kboo's wishlist for more information about supporting your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I am Emma Lugo. I'm one of the co-hosts of Prison Pipeline, and I'm here tonight with Anna Debenham, and Anna is going to introduce us to a couple of other guests that we have in studio.
Yes, we have Brandon Brown and Carl Armstrong, both guys who are in a program I was running at CRCI through Phoenix Rising.
Well, great. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming tonight. Carl and Brandon are both newly out. They're new outsiders. They've been just out for less than 2 months. And we're really excited. We're going to have a conversation tonight about what life is like to be back on the outside. And we're going to talk about Phoenix Rising. We're going to talk about Anna's program and how Anna's program has really helped them with their transition. So why don't we start by having Carl and Brandon, why don't you guys introduce yourselves, whoever wants to go first.
Okay, my name is Brandon Brown. I'm recently released. I've been out for a little over 2 months now. I did 15 years inside, and it was quite an experience. You know, it's been even more of an experience transitioning out here and desensitizing from the prison lifestyle to life out here.
Hi, my name is Carl Armstrong. I was released.
Can you say your name one more time, Carl?
Okay. My name is Carl Armstrong. And yes, I was also released from Columbia River Correctional Institution about 5 weeks ago. And the transition from prison to the outside, it's been a journey. It's harder than I thought it was. I'm ready for it. I embrace the struggle. So, I'm here to talk about that and talk about more.
Thank you. And Anna, can tell us a little bit about your involvement too. How did you meet Carl and Brandon, and what do you do? What is your involvement with the CRC and with Phoenix Rising and with incarceration work?
Yeah. So I met Harry and Karen of Phoenix Rising Transitions, I think it was about 8 or 9 months ago now. And I was really interested in continuing the work I've been doing in prison in England, over in the States. And so through one of my programs is through Phoenix Rising, and I teach their life skills class on Thursday night. And it's a very simple understanding that I share with the guys, which is really just two things. One is pointing them back to themselves, that they have everything they need inside themselves to create the life they want. We have innate wisdom. We all have that, regardless of the behavior that we've engaged in, regardless of our past experiences. Like, we all have our own innate wisdom. And also the understanding that our experience of life is coming from the inside out, that it's never the people, circumstances, events that are creating our experience moment to moment, it's thought. And once we start to see that, we recognize that an experience of one thing can look like great on one day and it can look terrible on another day. And we can see that our state of mind is the variable that is creating our moment to moment experience of life. So Carl and Brandon were in my program, the Life Skills program through Phoenix on Thursday night. And they're model students, and they were doing great. And they saw for themselves, and life started to look a little different from, realizing that no one has the power to dictate how they feel at any moment. And sometimes being in prison, that's kind of helpful, because we can look at the outside world as the cause of our experience. And when you see that differently, then life actually starts to look a little easier. So when I'd come on Prison Pipeline before with Adam, he'd suggested that I come in with a couple guys who'd been through the program, and Brandon and Carl have recently got out, and they're great, and they agreed to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight too. I would really like to talk more about, you're just out, so it must be really great. Now, you both were you both at the CRC? Where were you at?
Yeah, we both paroled from Columbia River.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a whole bunch of time in almost every facility that Oregon has.
Uh-huh. So you were out in Pendleton, you were out at Snake River.
OSP.
OSP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. South Fork, San Diego. Mm-hmm.
Did the tour.
Powder River. Uh-huh. I did a tour, yeah.
Now, why did they move you around? Is it just,
I moved around mainly because I still had a lot of my old lifestyle embedded into me for a long time. I think at one point in time, you could have released me and I would have came back to prison.
Mm-hmm.
It took me quite a while to go ahead and change my mentality. And then I had to make changes within myself. And then I got to Columbia River, and a friend of mine who was also a student of Anna's, he just was talking to me about it, and he says, no, you would really benefit from taking her class. And I think we did a little over four months with each other in there. And it was just mainly the thing that she would talk about was just that we have control over who we are as people. And it's just thoughts that we put in our own head. And it really is a lot of thoughts that you stick in your head when you sit back and you think about it. You feed yourself a lot of thoughts. You cause yourself to have anxiety issues and anger issues, and just there's a lot of thoughts. And for me, my biggest thing since being out here was patience. And you know, talking to Anna, she just reminded me, you know, hey, those are just those thoughts that you keep it in your head that you need to have this and that and everything. And I'm like a kid in a candy store out here. I want everything. Mm-hmm. Every day I want everything. And food. I want to try every food. Mm-hmm. I try mm-hmm. to stop at a different place to eat every time I go out and eat somewhere, you know. Just, I love food. I'm a foodie. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. But patience has been the biggest thing for me out here. Just never... I never came from a place to where I didn't have something that I wanted, or I wasn't able to go get it or take it, you know. So the new me and my new mentality is I'm going to work for everything that I want now. Mm-hmm. I want to live what we call the square life. Mm-hmm. You know, I work 7 days a week. I work hard. Mm-hmm. So everything that I've gotten right now, I actually do appreciate it so much more.
Wow. Now, you moved around too. You were you finished at the CRC, but you moved around Oregon.
Yeah, but no, I actually I started at Snake River, ended up going to OSCI and to Two Rivers, and in 2009, the feds came and got me in 2009, so I had to go had a fed time, 5 years federal mm-hmm. that I had to go do. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to the feds.
Did you do that in Oregon too? I
did the last of my bid in Oregon. Mm-hmm.
Out at where is that? Kind of down by McMinnville.
Yeah, Sheridan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Sheridan, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I traveled around a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, doing time in different jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. But just like I'm gonna piggyback on what he was saying about being out in Anna's class, and I learned a lot in her class about controlling my thoughts, because before then, I didn't know how, you know. Well, I didn't think I knew how. I mean, I was a ticking time bomb, mm-hmm. and I learned how to just control myself by, you know what I'm saying, just thinking like it's not them. They mm-hmm. can't get to you. It's you. You're mm-hmm. making yourself like this. Calm mm-hmm. yourself down. And so I learned that, and it became easy. You know what I'm saying? Because I do it more automatically now.
Yeah. You know. We were talking before the show, and you were mentioning how there's a difference between being on the inside and kind of being on the outside. Yeah. You were talking about respect.
Right.
And you brought up an example. Could you share that example again of what it was like on the inside, like if you ran into somebody, and what it's like on the outside?
Yeah, it's different. Like, see, out here, people do stuff self-consciously. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll accidentally bump into you or cut in front of you or something like that. In prison, you can't. I mean, someone bump into you, that's disrespect. They want to fight you. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much doing it on purpose. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality that we had. Or they're cutting in front of you. Or when you're having a conversation with somebody, they jump into your conversation. You know, that's mm-hmm. disrespect. That's you know, on the lines of fighting.
Yeah.
And out here, that's like normal. So you have to, before I got out, I was working on that. You know, so I wanted to change my mentality because I was stuck in that prison world. I was in prison 15 years, so I adapted the prison mentality, and I'm still working on it, because you gotta understand I've been down 15 years, and there's times that I think like, okay, this dude did this on purpose, but then you know he don't know any better. He hasn't been anywhere to even know what I'm thinking.
Right.
So, you know, I think
he doesn't know what's going on in your head.
Right. He doesn't know nothing that's going on in my head.
Yeah.
And so that's what I use to change my curb my thinking.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a big difference. And I mean, the transition is hard. I mean, I have a newfound respect for it, because I didn't know it was this hard.
Mm-hmm. The struggle is real.
Yeah, the struggle. Yeah, the struggle is real. It's real life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things in your program, Anna, that you teach that help to, you know, to transition out successfully?
Well, I think, you know, it's very simple. And it's the same on the inside as it is on the outside. Like, we can, as I said last time, you know, we can all be in prison in our own head, regardless of whether we're on the inside or on the outside. But when we start to just recognize how experience works, and that, you know, thought and feeling are connected, and that when we have we react to someone, and we got a lot of thinking about someone that creates anger, well, they're not the ones that are creating the anger. It's our thinking, and it's like an echo. They work together. So once you start to understand that, and they see it on the inside, so they don't no longer kind of react to everything, and everyone is looking at them funny, or someone who bumps into them, it's like, yeah, you know, there's like a certain amount of it is what it is, you know, and you can kind of move past stuff that before you'd get attached to and react to. Well, it's the same on the outside. Now, of course, the triggers are different because you've got a one set of situations on the inside. You can kind of get your head around those. And some people say, oh, yeah, but I'm in prison, so it's much harder. And then you get out and you go, oh, no, it's easier in prison. You know, it doesn't matter. We're still living in our own head. We're still, our state of mind is still the variable that allows us to kind of see life moment to moment. And it's going to be different on a different day. It is for me. I'm sure it is for you. And it is for everybody. They've just got, you know, a different set of circumstances, having been in prison for 15 years, and everything is new. I mean, these guys grew up in Portland. I mean, I left Portland for 7 years and the whole place has changed, you know, and so remembering things that were there and here and everywhere, and then, you know, everything's new. So like they say, it's like being little kids.
Yeah.
And so the stimulation can seem different, but at the source of your experience is still the same. So it's really pointing them back to themselves, and also that they've got what it takes to do life. That they figure it out. Like here they are, and sometimes it's a struggle, but then they, you know, they figure it out, they course correct, they rise to the occasion, because that's what human beings do. And so when you point them, you know, point all of us back to ourselves and know that we've got innate wisdom, we all have, that they've got it. Mm-hmm. Like they know how to do it, and sometimes we all forget, and sometimes it all feels like a struggle. But ultimately, they're doing great, and we all have our ups and downs. They have their ups and downs, but they're figuring it out as they go. It's like what I say sometimes: their inner GPS. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all got an inner GPS, and even if we take a turn, that, you know, it actually then does it course corrects us and puts us back on the line. And you take it, you know, a wrong turn here or a wrong turn there, but we've got it. Like we know how to do life, and they know that. And once they start to see that for themselves, then my experience is that life feels a little bit more relaxed, because underneath all the noise, that they life has their back, mm-hmm. even though it may not seem like that.
So, Brandon and Carl, you are both out. You've been out for 2 months, Brandon,
yeah.
And you've been out for 5 weeks, Carl. Mm-hmm. So, tell me, what did you do on your first day out? What was it like? You know, getting out the first. What did you do? Where did you go? How was it?
It was surreal. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem real for a while. Mm-hmm. It was almost like, I don't think it hit me until the next day that I was home, mm-hmm. and I'm not in prison anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to shower during certain times and eat. I could do it when I want to, you know, I went and see my grandmother's grave that morning, which mm-hmm. was something big for me because I was very close with my grandmother.
Did your grandmother pass away while you were inside?
Yeah, she passed away.
Were you able to go to her funeral?
No, due to having a violent crime that they withheld me from doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that they look at, a lot of that kind of stuff up in there. And then it costs like $2,500. Mm-hmm. That you got to pay if you want to go do
you have
something
to have,
like that.
You have to have a guard.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to have at least one or two.
You got
to
pay the guard's wages. You mm-hmm. got to pay for gas. Mm-hmm. If there's any kind of food involved, you got to pay for that. And
wow. It's really expensive.
It's a whole process. And I went through the process of trying to do it. I got the money. And then I got shut down. Mm-hmm. You know, which was, it was heartbreaking for me at that time frame.
Were you close to your grandmother?
Yes, very, mm-hmm. very close with her, you know, and yeah, I mean, spending that time, you know, just being at my grandmother's grave, and I hung out with my little brother, which I haven't had, you know, contact with him in 8 years, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was locked up with me at one point in time in like 2010. Mm-hmm. So that was like the last time I actually got to see my little brother, so. You know, and he got out since then, and, you know, he's been doing okay and everything. You know, he's goes to school for welding and everything. So hanging out with him has been very good for me.
I would love to learn how to weld. That's, like, such an impressive skill.
He loves it. You know, it's just, I went and ate, and I went to, my family had a barbecue for me, so I kind of felt real standoffish, you know, around a lot of people for a few days. It took me a while just to want to mingle with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just me trying to soak up life. It took a while for me just to soak up life, and now it's just, now I like to say hi to everybody I see and talk to anybody and everybody nowadays, you know. It just took a minute, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of one of those people that I like to look at things before I jump into it.
What about you, Carl? What did you do on your first day out?
Well, Anna and
Michael,
they showed up. They were taking pictures of me when I got out. And my brother met me out there. And another guy by the name of Garrett, they met me out there. And me and my brother went and met my dad and my sister at Denny's. And I was running into old friends I didn't recognize.
Oh, that must have been great.
Yeah, it was all right. It was kind of overwhelming because, you know, I'm fresh out. And I was tripping off of forks and butter knives.
Yeah,
and
you could have a metal fork. Have a metal fork, yeah, and wouldn't be put in the hole.
Yeah, I was stuck staring at a fork because I haven't seen a fork in 14 years. So, you know, too used to using.
What
sporks.
Do they use? They use a spork.
Yeah,
like that thing you get at KFC.
Right. Mm-hmm. The orange ones.
Orange, yeah.
So yeah, I was tripping off the silverware, you know, for a little bit, and I was like, man, that really hit me. I was like, man, you really out now.
Yeah.
You know, and I was still tripping though, because it didn't seem real. It's like I was in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I couldn't stop smiling. My brother was like, dang, man.
Yeah.
He's like, man, he's showing all your teeth. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I couldn't stop smiling, man. It was cool, man. I enjoyed it, man. And I mean, it was amazing, man. It was an amazing feeling. It was like I was born again.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I'm fresh. You know, I've been gone 15 years. Everything to change. There's nothing that's familiar.
Uh-huh.
I don't see nothing familiar.
Portland's changed.
Yeah, Portland's changed. People have changed.
Yeah, it is.
All my nephews and grew up. My kids are old.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's a different world.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, so.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have kids. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you keep in touch with them while you were in the CRC?
Yeah, I did. My my oldest son, he passed away in 2014.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Were you able to go to his?
Yeah, I went and viewed his body.
Uh-huh.
You know, let me go see him and stuff like that, spend some time with him.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Do you have any other kids?
Yeah, I have a daughter, Kahari, and my youngest son's Nathaniel.
Oh, great. And how old are they?
Nathaniel's 14 and Kahari's 21.
Oh, wow. Great.
Those are my babies.
Yeah. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, I got a daughter.
Uh-huh.
She's 17. Just recently seen her. She just she lives in Hawaii, so she just came up here. You know, we spent the last few days with each other, and it was good. Nice. It was good being around her. It's kind of a trip not being around her for so long that we actually have a lot in common, you know, so that's great. And she looks just like me, so that's another thing. Oh. That's a good thing.
Uh-huh. That's great. Yeah. So, Anna, the program Phoenix Rising, can you tell us a little bit about that and what you do? How did you get involved at the CRC specifically?
Well, Phoenix Rising is an organization that supports prisoners, ex-offenders, and people in the community that kind of come together to support guys transitioning and getting out and doing that successfully with a support network. So it's a really, you know, has a strong community base of people coming in and into class and then it continuing on the outside, so you have that support on the outside. And I had been given Harry Olson's phone number by, I can't even remember now, because
That's the chaplain at the...
No, he started Phoenix Rising.
Oh, right, yeah, right, sorry.
I'd been put in, given his phone number, and it was like, you know, when I first wanted to work in prison, and I didn't have any contacts with anyone, and then I got a phone number from, you know, someone who used to work in prison a long time ago as a volunteer, and then that led to conversation, and then it brought me to Harry Olson, but also then to Chaplain Holbrook as well, in a different, you know, the same program, but in a different capacity, and So both Harry and Karen from Phoenix were really interested in, I work with Karen a little bit on the work that I do, and she was really impacted, and she wanted me to teach the class on a Thursday night. So it was actually seamless. And so other than when they're doing a MACG training or a leadership training, which is something else that they offer on the inside and the outside, I take the Thursday class and we you know have a few hours together on a Thursday afternoon evening and yeah, so that's how it started, and it's rolling now.
Wow, you know, that's going, great.
Yeah.
Now, you're on the board of the CR. You're on the board of Phoenix Rising.
Yes, Carl. Mm-hmm. Yes,
Carl.
Yeah.
What's your take on Phoenix Rising? How would you describe it?
I mean, me personally, I like that they're giving. I don't want to say inmates. They're giving the adults in custody a second chance at life. You know, mm-hmm. So they're really giving them a place to actually go. Because if you get out of prison with nowhere to go and no help, you're going to end up right back in prison. So they're trying to curb that by giving them a place to stay, you know what I'm saying, to transition back to the streets and help them out with clothes, jobs, and stuff like that. So, I mean, I do like the program. I mean, it's beneficial. You know, I wish that that we had more help from, you know, from the public. But you know, that's another battle. But I really like it. I think it's helping, because the guys that are in there now, they're actually doing something real positive out there in the community. So you know, it's really helping. It's really working.
It was a big portion of the class that we all took. Most of us are all out here doing really good.
Yeah.
Everybody that graduated from, you know, the training that we had in there.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys that I've talked to since then, you know, all doing good. We're all working out here, you know, got our lives rolling nowadays, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's, so, Brandon, what are you doing now that you're out?
I pave roads.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, we need a lot of that in Portland.
Yeah, there's a lot of that needs work. Yeah.
I don't know if you were you still on the inside during the big blizzard this winter, the
ice apocalypse?
Yeah, that thing. Oh my goodness, that was just a disaster.
It's got a lot of work for us out here doing. I work 6 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know,
you got skinny.
I've lost a lot of weight out here. I feel like I have no time to do a whole lot of stuff. But I just work most of the time. Yeah. You know.
What about you?
What are you doing? Construction. Yes.
Oh wow. Yeah.
We need that as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on right now in Portland. Well, neat. Well, that's so great. It sounds like you both have been really successful, and you know, good luck with your transition out. How long is your parole?
Well, I have 5 years of federal post prison, uh-huh. And for the state, I have 3 years. But I can get off the state post prison. He said, as soon as I finish this book, I'll meet with him tomorrow. I'm just gonna knock the whole book out tomorrow. And he said, once I finish that book, he'll put me on inactive.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have 5 years federal post prison, so that really, really, really don't matter too much. But
yeah, you just got to keep up with it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I got 3 years post prison to do, but in 2 weeks I will be put on the inactive list.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And I can get off in 18 months total. I can just be done.
That would be so great.
You know, I've been out here working. I've been it was a lot of stories that I'd hear about it being so hard, and it is. It's hard out here, you know. Like I said, the struggle is real out here. But if you want it, go get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy and it's hard at the same time.
But it's there.
You know, yeah. The opportunities are all out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of guys' egos that I know don't want to take the opportunities. But
yeah. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Anna, is there anything you'd like to share to wrap up?
Well, actually, you kind of answered it, because I was curious, you know, knowing that there's some guys inside that are listening to Prison Pipeline, and now you guys are out and you're doing great. And it's true. Like when I'm doing a group on the outside, it's so hard to pin everyone down because they're all doing so well and they're all working and their lives are just, you know, really going well. But I'm curious, both of you, you know, is there anything, any any words of wisdom that in terms of, you know, guys that are coming out soon that you can impart? Now you're out and you've had the experience of kind of first
in less than a minute. We've got about a minute left.
It's not easy. It's a struggle, but you just got to embrace it. You know what I'm saying? Keep going forward. You know?
Embrace your struggle.
Right.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah. Don't look back. Always stay forward. Keep your eyes glued forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a prize at the end of the tunnel. Freedom.
Man. And it's and the freedom is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Wow. That is so great. So would you like to give a shout out to anyone? Is there anyone listening you'd like to just say hi to?
What's up, Joshua?
Yeah, we know Josh is listening.
Yeah,
man.
We know you listening.
Take care,
bro.
Brother.
Yeah, you'll be out here soon, man. We're waiting on you.
And I know my mama's listening right now, too. So I love you, Mom.
Yeah, my mom, I think she's listening to it. She said she was. And whoever else is listening, hey, we love you guys. You know what I'm saying? Man, stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe in there, guys.
And come home. We're waiting on you. We're here waiting on you. We'll be here.
All right, thank you. Well, you've been listening to Prison Pipeline. We've been here tonight with Anna and Brandon and Carl, and I'm Emma. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Thirsty City 3-Year Anniversary Party on July 26th, starting at 8:30 p.m. at The No in Portland. The monthly gathering of beat and rap junkies will be celebrated with Joe Mousepad, City Mouth, Kebala.